Amen. John chapter number 1 and verse number 14, it says, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father." Then he said something that years ago the Lord highlighted to me, "full of grace and truth." Hallelujah. Full of grace and truth. Say full. Say this way, the glory is full of something. Did you see that? He's talking about, we beheld His glory and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, he's talking about Jesus, the glory of the Lord Jesus Himself. But more specifically, he mentioned not Jesus. He mentioned in the glory of the Lord. Isn't that right? Yes. And he said, that glory is full of something. Yes, you ever thought about that? The glory is full of something. Listen to the Amplified Classic. And if you have your shouting clothes on, well, if you don't, go get them real quick, because this might require shouting clothes. "The Word, Christ, became flesh, human incarnate, and tabernacled, fixed His tent of flesh, lived a while among us, and we actually saw His glory, His honor and majesty, such glory as His only begotten, as an only begotten Son received from His Father, full of grace, favor, loving kindness, and truth." Full of grace, favor, loving kindness, and truth. Praise the Lord. Now listen to the actual Amplified Bible, I believe. It says, "full of grace and truth, absolutely free of deception." So that's the truth part. Now, see, each of these is talking about the glory of God is full of something. Yes. Say it out loud. It's full of something. And one thing it's full of is grace. Say it out loud. It's full of grace. Hallelujah. Now, there's another translation we'll get to in a little bit. But grace is God's goodness, favor, loving kindness. And really, Moses in the Old Testament asked God to show him His glory. Exodus chapter number 33. If you want to write the verses down, Moses in verse 18 and 19 in Exodus 33, 18 and 19, he said, "show me your glory." In verse 18, "show me your glory." He said, "I'll make all my goodness pass before thee. And I'll proclaim the name of the Lord," and so forth and so on. And so it goes on in chapter 34. Verses 5 through 7, and says how the glory manifested and what God said. And he said, the Lord descended in a cloud, stood with him there, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity." How many of you know this is all His goodness? He's manifesting Himself in all His glory before Moses, and He proclaimed, in order to get it to manifest, He proclaimed His goodness, His mercy, His kindness. It mentioned there His graciousness, His long-suffering, His abundant goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, and so forth and so on. So God's, we get a divine commentary on what it's telling us there in John 1:14, what the glory is full of. It's full of goodness. Were you here Wednesday night? Anybody here Wednesday night? Hallelujah. Now, I just want to find this other translation before I go any further, because I thought it was the Amplified. I turned there and it wasn't the Amplified. So let me find this. If you can give me a second, this other translation will just flat. It'll just flat make you shout and run. Praise the Lord. So if I can, you can just give me a second. I thought I had it. Where is that translation? Where? I got it. I know I got it. Praise the Lord. Well, I'll find it before the service is over. I'm scanning right by it probably. I'm not seeing it. But one translation says favor after favor. there in 1 John 1:14. Rather than full of goodness and truth, it says favor after favor. Favor after favor. Well, you ever ask somebody, would you do me a favor? What you're doing is you're testing your relationship, seeing how, amen?
Yeah.
It's not like we were out to eat one time probably 10 years ago or 15 years ago. I don't know, maybe 10 or 12 years ago. And we were at a breakfast place eating pancakes, and Carlos and Ann were there. Carlos was across the table from Pastor Debbie, and Pastor Debbie saw his stack of pancakes and said, Carlos, can I have part of your, one of your pancakes? He said, no. Well, she tested our relationship and found out it wasn't where we thought it was. And he was not joking. He was serious. He was like, and everybody at the table got a little tense at first. And then they're like, should we laugh? Is he serious? And he was totally serious. She asked for a favor and found out where the relationship really was. We've laughed about that for whatever, 10 or 12 years. We thought that was the funniest thing. And I think recently we were out eating again, and she asked for something. He said, sure. So I'm like, oh, he's growing in grace. He's growing in grace.
I asked him if he wanted some.
Oh, that's right. So that now she's offering him things. And
All right.
Because it's a running joke. We go out to eat, and we say, Pastor Debbie, you sit here. Carlos, you sit there. And let's watch. But anyway, have you ever asked somebody for a favor?
Yeah.
You're testing your relationship. And God said here, he'll give you favor after favor. Favor after favor. Say it out loud. He's full of goodness and favor. Many, many favors. Remember in the book of Genesis, the 12th chapter, the first verse, second verse, third verse, somewhere right in there, second or third verse, in the Amplified Classic, it says God wanted to bless Abraham with the abundant increase of favors.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Would you do me a favor, God? Always the answer is yes.
Yes.
Fits in line with his word. Of course, you don't want to ask something that's not his will. So I want you to see that, and I wanted you to see that his glory is full of his goodness.
Yes.
So you could say, whenever it appeared to Moses, when he said, show me your glory, you could say the glory is manifested goodness. That could be a definition of the glory of God. Now you might say, where are you going, Pastor? Well, just hold on and you'll be glad you came. The glory is God's manifested goodness. Now, we understand the glory of God from all the scriptures. It can manifest in actually appear in a room like a cloud.
Yeah.
We've seen that here at times. And I've seen it over the years on the road. We used to see it a lot. Not to draw attention to it. We didn't always say anything about it. But the glory of the Lord would roll in. Things would start happening. Miracles start happening.
Yeah.
What is it? The manifest presence of God. You see it referred to all in the Old Testament. You can see it, you know, remember the pillar of fire by night and cloud by day that led Israel. What was that? That was the glory of God. So that's what I'm talking about. Yet, I don't want you to limit to just like a something like a cloud. It is his goodness. It is his, in other words, the Bible said, in his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Why? Because in his presence is where all his goodness is. Now, I want you to go to another passage of scripture over in Philippians. Well, I'll tell you what. Let me just give you a couple of references throughout the Bible to this really, to be honest, treasury.
Amen.
In the glory.
Amen.
Can you say that out loud with me? Treasury in the glory. Praise God. By the way, when you read there in Exodus, where Moses said, show me your glory in the 33rd chapter. When you read there, he said, I'll make all my goodness pass before you. The word glory there, show me your glory, the word glory means heavy. Literally, in the Hebrew, it means heavy. So what's it heavy with? Goodness.
Goodness, amen.
Amen. It's loaded, weighed down with goodness. Praise the Lord. Can I just, let me, before we get to these other verses, just kind of tell you some of the Hebrew scholars tell us that Moses actually saw in this vision, he saw a heavenly storehouse. Now, this isn't in the Bible, so if you want to throw it away, that's fine. But this is oral tradition, all right? This is not scripture, but it's oral tradition. Now, I will show you many scriptures about it. So I think you could look at some other scriptures and say, well, it wouldn't be beyond God to have shown Moses this. But as we'll look at other scriptures, but the scriptures talk about this heavenly storehouse. And Moses, the Hebrew scholars that give this oral tradition down through the ages, they say that Moses actually saw a heavenly storehouse. And in the comments of these scholars, they say, God said, the time has come to show you as much of divine goodness as you can comprehend. Then God showed him all the treasures of reward stored up for the righteous. God showed him a large, unlabeled storehouse. When Moses asked for whom it was stored, the Lord said it was reserved for those who did not have merits of their own. Well, I qualify for that. It was a treasure house of grace, unmerited favor for those who did not deserve it. That's how good God is. And he said, I'm going to make all this goodness pass before you. And Moses saw this storehouse. Let's look at some other references in the scripture. Now, you can take that part or leave it. That's not in the Word of God. But listen to some other references in the scriptures about this treasure house of glory or goodness. Is it referred to anywhere else in the Bible? Well, there's a verse you might have heard before, Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches. In what?
Glory.
Oh, we're talking about the same storehouse. Now, I want you to know something about that verse. That's in the context, that's financial, right? But this storehouse is not limited to financial. In this storehouse is a lot of different things. All the riches of his glory. The Bible talks about this, and we're going to look at this verse. All the riches of his glory in Christ. In him, all that we have in him is what we're talking about.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So the glory, he'll supply all our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I want you to get this thought about there's actually, now it's not in the natural realm, but it's in the spirit realm. Satan wants people to not go into the spirit realm and tap into what's there.
Yeah, right.
But we're going to talk to you about it and help it become more real to you today.
Amen.
Listen to Psalm 31, verse number 19. Excuse me. Psalm 31, 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. So, is this laid up for God? This is a storehouse of goodness for us. Notice that thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. So this is laid up, notice two words, laid up and wrought. It was worked. All the supply was made. For them that trust in thee. Now, it was done from the foundation of the world. Praise the Lord. That's why Moses could see it even before Jesus came. It was available to people in the Old Testament. But Jesus came and secured it for us in the New Testament. Hallelujah. Now, notice that term, how great is thy goodness. The Hebrew says, treasured up goodness for his reverent ones. Treasured up goodness. I'm going to just take my time here to lay this foundation. Treasured up goodness. So this is a storehouse, a treasure house. Literally, in the realm of the spirit, there's a place where every need you will ever have from the day you were conceived till for eternity.
Right.
Every need you will ever have. I'm not just talking financial.
Right.
I'm talking about every need you have. Anybody ever had need of mercy?
Yes.
It's there. Praise the Lord. So the glory is God's goodness manifested. The glory is heavy with goodness. Hallelujah. What is this? It's all his care for us in this life, in the life to come. Praise God. There's all sorts of wisdom there, answers there, direction there, counsel, comfort when you need comfort. There's angels there. There's the power and anointing of God there. Everything you'll ever need. Praise God. Now, it's a treasure house of goodness. It's what God has in mind. It's actually your inheritance. It's what you have jointly inherited with Christ.
Yes.
As an heir of God. Remember, you're an heir of God, joint heir with Jesus Christ. It's all that you have inherited. See, it's mentioned in different ways at different places. And it's already made ready, and it's waiting on man's faith, according to Hebrews chapter number 4. Chapter number 4, verse number 3. Hallelujah. Now listen to another verse, Ephesians 1:3. Says, Ephesians 1:3, he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Now notice this phrase that kind of qualifies it. In heavenly places in Christ. Say it out loud, in heavenly places.
In heavenly places.
In Christ.
In Christ.
I don't know if you ever remember in the Old Testament, one place in Psalms, I don't have the reference here, but it talks about God brought them out into a wealthy place.
Yes.
Praise God. He's talking about this treasure house.
Yes.
Somebody says he's talking about Canaan's land. Well, that's only part of it. That's not that Canaan's land, the land, doesn't belong to us. But all the wealth in Christ does. All the treasures in Christ do. Praise the Lord. But he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Somebody said, well, if it's in heavenly places, then it's not for this life, or it's not for, anything in the natural realm. Oh, no, you don't understand. It's for here and now. It's for here and now. And we could get into that, but we won't. Now think about 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verses 9 and 10. I'm just giving you some references. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10, as it is written, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Anybody love him in here?
Yes.
But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Remember, for the Spirit searches all things, yeah, the deep things of God. What man knows the things of man, save the Spirit of man. You know, and he goes on and on, talks about the things that God has prepared for them that love him. The Amplified Classic says, prepared and keeps ready. What's it ready for? It's ready for you to come and receive. Some of you might have read that book by, Richard Sigmund, that wrote, I think it's in our bookstore, that wrote that book about My Time in Heaven. Is that what it's called? My Time in Heaven. And he talks about this storehouse. He saw it. I'm trying to make it more real. Because you can you can read a scripture and sort of glare over it and miss what it's saying. But by bringing some of these stories, like Moses' experience, Richard Sigmund's experience, you can see into the scriptures further.
Yeah.
Because Richard Sigmund saw it. He said it was like a crystal palace suspended up in the air, and angels were going in and out of it.
Yeah.
And there was all sorts of things that people in this earth needed or even wanted or just their dreams.
Yeah.
In this life that were being requested on earth, and angels were going back and forth getting their dreams off the shelf and bringing it into the earth. Praise the Lord. This is a real thing. So eyes not seen, ears not heard, neither is entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Things which God has prepared. Things which God has prepared. And notice he didn't say anything about where thou canst not touch it till thou diest. Didn't mention that at all. Things that God has prepared. Jesus mentioned it. He talked about it. He talks about having promise of the things that have promise of the life that now is and of the life to come. Praise the Lord. Now, Hebrews 11, verse 1 really talks about it. If you think about it, this is the Amplified Classic. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see. Are there things we do not see? Just because you can't see them doesn't make them less real. They are more real.
Yes.
actually, than the things you see. Notice he's saying, being the proof of things we do not see, this is the Amplified Classic, and the conviction of their reality.
Yes.
Yes. Say that out loud. There is a reality, that you do not see. But it is still reality. You know, people, they go to church and they hear about the things God's prepared for them, and then they go and they leave the service and they say, well, now back to the real world.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Yeah.
There's a man without faith right there. Because
yes.
Faith has the reality of these things.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact that which is not revealed to the senses. How is it revealed? It's revealed in the Word of God. There's a rich storehouse of things that are not seen. They are things just as much as things that are seen. This has material substance. We call it a thing. There are substances that are not physical, but they are things. Hallelujah. That are not seen, but they're just as real as things that are seen. Faith has the reality of them. Many people live their life so naturally minded that their whole life has nothing to do with anything beyond what they see, feel, can touch, whatever the doctor says, whatever the lawyer says, whatever so-and-so says. And the things that are unseen are not real to them. Well, you can't tap into them by faith if they're not real to you. How do they become more real to you? They become more real to you by feeding on the Word of God about them. Part of that, I've heard this over and over again, people that have actually seen it, and there must be, it must be so because of some of the testimonies, even in the Word of God, about people who didn't have a limb and they got a limb. Now you might not think, well, that's not in the Word, is it? Yeah, Jesus, the Bible talks about people that were maimed were healed.
Yes,
if you look up the word maimed, it means they didn't have an arm or they didn't have a leg or
that's
something
right,
like that.
That's right, yes.
And they got an arm and a leg. Where'd that come from? Where'd that arm and that leg come from? It came from this storehouse. Good friend of ours, Brother Joel Siegel and his wife Amy, they are spiritual people. I have great confidence in them. I don't believe they're fake. I don't believe they make things up. But she saw this place one day. At least she saw part of this storehouse where these body parts were. And what startled her, and it does stand out to all of us, you know, whenever I heard about it, it stood out to me, is that she saw this, and she saw the arms and the legs and the body parts, sometimes hearts, different places. I guess they were categorized. This is a shelf of hearts. Here's a shelf of legs. Oh, that's the right leg. Over here's a shelf of the left legs. We laugh, but this is reality. And she said, this is Amy Siegel's testimony. She said, the thing about it was when she saw it, she said they were, and it kind of made her, oh, I didn't think it would be that way. It made her kind of catch herself in the way she thought about something. And that was that they were all alive.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Wow.
The body parts were alive. The legs were alive.
Yeah.
The hearts were beating.
Wow.
Well, why would they be dead in the realm of life? You know, our thinking sometimes we're like, oh yeah, okay, oh yeah, of course. Praise the Lord. Now think about this verse, Psalm 23:5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Say it out loud. There's a table spread right down for me in this life down here. And then you can just write down Psalm 25, verse number 13. It just says, his soul, talking about us as the righteous, his soul shall dwell at ease. The Hebrew says, lodge in goodness. Woo, glory.
Amen.
Lodge in goodness. Now, Ephesians 3:16. Now you're ready to start the service? That was just a little bit of foundation. Ephesians 3:16. That he would grant you, God, talking about God, would grant you according to the riches of his glory. There's another phrase using the same, using similar language as John chapter number 1, verse number 14, that he would grant you, for Ephesians 3:16, according to the riches of his glory. According to your paycheck?
No.
According to your wisdom and your smarts and grant you according to the riches of his glory.
His glory.
Amen.
His glory.
to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. So here's another thing in that glory. Something good for your life in that glory. Strength. Strength. Praise the Lord. Strength of spirit, strength for your body, strength for your mind, whatever strength you need. Now listen to the amplifier. Well, let me finish that. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. So that's something in the glory. Listen to the Amplified Classic. May He grant you out of the rich treasury of His glory. Hallelujah. This glory is a rich treasury. Hallelujah. And what He grants you comes out of that treasury. The glory is a treasury. Do you get that? The glory is a treasury. It's a storehouse of everything good. I was wanting to find out a little more what the word treasury means. So I looked it up in the English dictionary. It means a bank, a cash. C-A-C-H-E, not C-A-S-H, C-A-C-H-E, cash. It also is another synonym for it is coffers. Another word, synonym is a hoard. Amen. In other words, it's a place where things are deposited or laid up. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
For what? Laid up for what? Notice what He said both in the Amplified and in the King James, that He would grant you. It's laid up because God out of it wants to make heavenly grants. Praise the Lord. Some of you are getting awake. You're coming in service. For who? That He would grant you. It's for you, it's for me, it's for the righteous.
Amen.
This is our inheritance, it belongs to us. Everything good laid up for your life. God doesn't have any evil.
No, He doesn't.
Remember the Bible says, no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly.
That's right.
If it's good, it's God.
Amen.
And so it's laid up for us, it's a treasury of all that is in His goodness. And it's there for these heavenly grants to be made. Now listen to the Doddridge translation. I know you didn't know there was a Doddridge translation. But it's a good translation. I really enjoy it. Doddridge translation of Ephesians 3:16. Ephesians 3:16, Doddridge translation. In other words, this grant comes out of those redundant stores of goodness. And His gracious heart, which can never be exhausted. In other words, this generous supply for your life, this storehouse of redundant goodness, can never be exhausted. You'll never go for strength. And God said, man, half the world's coming for strength. We don't have enough. We're running out. No such thing as in heaven's economy, no such thing of running out of anything. Because frankly, if He doesn't have it, He'll make it.
Yes, yes, sir. Yes.
Now, what does that mean? Notice the Doddridge says redundant stores. Redundant stores. What does redundant mean? Redundant means characterized by repetition.
Yes.
Well, I drew what I needed yesterday, and I messed up, and I need some help again today. Well, the store is redundant.
Right.
Characterized by repetition. And one of the illustrations the dictionary used by redundancy, or to illustrate redundancy, was the waves of the sea.
Yeah.
You ever been down by the seashore?
Yes.
If you're from Iowa, you need to go. Sometimes you need to go. But anyway, just redundant. Just continually. You go and take a nap, come back out continually. You go to bed and decide to take a midnight stroll in the middle of the night continually. It's just continually, redundantly, over and over again, never quits. Just the waves of the sea keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. That's what these blessings are for your life. They're blessings that just keep on a coming. They just keep on a coming. They just keep on a coming. Praise God. Characterized by repetition. It also means, it includes the idea of exceeding what is used or needed. That's what the word redundant in the dictionary means. So if these redundant blessings, these redundant, this restore of goodness and redundancy in goodness, if it's something that you need, it's there. But if it's more than you need, it's still there.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not necessarily, in other words, the word redundant means characterized by repetition, but it also means exceeding what is used or needed, characterized by superabundance. Yes. This is just reading the English dictionary.
Yes.
It's something not needed, unnecessary, not required, unessential, needless, uncalled for. It's surplus.
Yeah.
It's extra.
Yes.
Extravagant.
Yes.
More than enough. Jesus said he came to give us life and that more abundantly. I mean, the body of Christ ought to have more than any people on the planet. They ought to have more of it. They ought to have more joy, more peace. Redundant joy, redundant peace. Redundant wisdom. Just the smartest people on the planet. Right? More strength, more health, less dying. Come on, somebody. Praise the Lord. So he's just talking about blessings that just keep on a coming. You ever heard of John Wayne? You know, talking about the Texas Rangers? They just keep on a coming. Just keep on a coming. That's the way the blessings of God are. They just keep on a coming. But I used up a whole bunch yesterday. Well, this is redundant. Praise God. Whether you can take them in or not, that's your problem. But they just keep on a coming. Remember, Psalmist said, "My cup runneth over."
Yeah.
God, stop! You're wasting. I mean, it's running over. Now, you don't want to waste what you're pouring into my cup, Lord. Stop, stop! He says, "Not my fault. You can't take any more of that. That's just my nature. I'm more than enough." Remember when he talks about peace, it passes understanding. When he talks about joy, it's joy unspeakable. What is that talking about? It's talking about more than enough. It's talking about redundancy.
Yeah.
And you and I are to develop a redundant faith. We need to be the kind of people that even though, because I'm going to share why we're sharing this morning here in a minute, even though we have used up all the, maybe we thought we used up all of God's mercies.
Yeah.
For example, remember the Bible talks about his mercies are new every morning. You know what that is? It's redundancy.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
It's redundancy. Well, I used up all the mercy that he had. I doubt if you did anyway. But all the mercy that he had yesterday. Yeah, but it's new every morning. And the Bible says his mercies, they fail not. Sort of like the waves of the sea. They never stop coming. They never stop. And his mercies that way, it just doesn't fail. Just doesn't quit. It just keeps on a coming. Just keeps on a coming.
Amen.
Praise God. So remember that the glory can be defined as manifested goodness.
Yeah.
But here this verse in the Doddridge translation brings us more understanding of that. It's a manifestation of the goodness of the Lord over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And over and over again. Yesterday you might have used something up, but today because you flubbed up, messed up, God, I messed up. I need some. Well, he's got more. Praise the Lord. So really, when we talk about full supply, this truth in the Word reveals God's supply laid up for life. Our life isn't just abundant because it's for every area of life. See, when we talk about his goodness, it's for every area of life. So, but it's not just abundant because it's laid up for every area of life. It's much more than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
To God, that's still not rich enough.
Yeah. Wow.
God has a supply for every area of our life. He has a supply for wisdom. He has a supply for, you know, health and strength, every area of our life.
Yeah.
But it's not good enough to God that it's for every area of our life.
Right.
It has to be for every area of our life over and over again. Amen. Say it out loud over and over again.
Over and over again.
Now, here's that verse I was looking for, John 1:16. I said it was verse 14. Look at John 1:16. Remember I was looking for it? Look at this verse in the Amplified Classic. John 1:16, Amplified Classic. For out of his fullness, abundance, we have all received, all had a share, and we were all supplied with one grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. One upon another. Laid up on top of each other. That's redundancy. I don't know if you remember over there in the Old Testament. I know you remember, but you remember the Bible talks about that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. The Hebrew literally says, rather than perfect peace, it literally says, peace, peace. Peace, peace. That will keep him in peace, peace. I like peace, but I like peace on top of peace better. Redundant peace. I like peace that just goes way beyond understanding. Hallelujah. But all these verses talk about redundancy. Redundant store of God's blessings. Praise the Lord. I've used up mercy before, but there's more. It gets renewed every day. Thank God we all have it, right? Now, in the aviation, you fly airplanes, there's redundant systems on an aircraft. In other words, if one breaks or fails or something like that, there's a backup system. That's one of the things they do for safety. And computers will have redundant, you know, they store the data maybe in two places on the computer, two hard drives or whatever, different ways in different computers. And that's called redundancy, right? Because there could be a failure of the computer or an aircraft system or something like that, right? So that's redundancy. But God's redundancy is not there because there could be a failure of one of them. It's there for needs over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Needs that keep on coming. I remember a story in the Old Testament about a king. This is found in 2 Kings 6, 8 through 12. The story of a king, his name was Jehoram. 2 Kings 6, 8 through 12. The Bible talked about the enemy coming at them over and over and over again. And this is the story where God was telling Elisha in what the enemy king's plans were that were being made in his bedchamber. Remember that story?
Yes.
He had kept, this enemy king kept making plans, yes. Secret plans. That's what the bedchamber means, secret. Yes. They were just secretly deciding, here's where we're going to attack Israel. Except Elisha in the spirit was hearing the plans. And he would go tell his king, Jehoram, and tell them where they were coming at, or where they're going to be coming from. And Jehoram and Israel was always ready for them and ambushed them before they got to them. And that kept happening. Finally, the enemy kings, the Syrian king said, well, we got to find out who's the traitor among us. They said, no, it's over there. It's that prophet over in Israel, Elisha.
Yeah.
And then the verses said in 2 Kings 6, 8 through 12, it says that this happened not once nor twice. In other words, it just kept happening.
Yeah.
It didn't happen once. It didn't happen twice. It happened over and over and over again. That's a redundant supply. You need help to get out of this situation, and then another situation comes up. Then God's got help for that situation, and another situation, and another situation. Maybe one was just because you're living in this world, and the devil's out there attacking you. But maybe the third one was because you just messed up. And God's got help not once, not twice, over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. We need to develop faith in a redundant God. And our faith needs to be redundant. Now let me tell you why you need faith. You need a redundant faith. Because if you've missed it in the same area over and over again. Anybody missed it in the same area over and over again? It takes more faith the further you go to keep coming to the throne of grace and obtaining mercy. Because if you're not careful, you'll start beating yourself up and say, well, I can't go to God anymore. I've missed it so many times. God's mercies are redundant. But he needs you to have a redundant faith. It takes faith to come and get mercy. But it takes faith, more faith to come and get it over and over and over again. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God has enough provision, whether it be mercy or healing or strength or wisdom, whatever it is. He has enough provision in this great storehouse of blessings to meet your need and work a miracle time and time and time again. And can I just say why I'm sharing this? Can I just get back over why I'm sharing this? Because He wants us to be free from the condemnation of I need another miracle. I messed up again. I don't know why I keep needing another miracle. Well, we're going to nail that unbelief and that condemnation, really, nail that to the wall before we go today. Amen. Look at 2 Corinthians 1:10, and we'll get into this, being free from the condemnation of needing another miracle. Anybody ever dealt with that?
Oh, yeah.
Like, God, if I were walking better by faith, or if I were really all that in a bag of chips spiritually, you know, if I were really on top of my game, if I had it all together, I wouldn't be needing this over and over and over again. Well, sometimes there's other reasons you need miracles over and over again. And we're going to get free from the condemnation of needing miracles over and over again. 2 Corinthians 1:10, Paul said, talking about God, who delivered us, delivered is past tense, from so great a death, and doth deliver, that's present tense, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us, that's future tense. So Paul's saying, I needed a miracle to get out of trouble in the past. I need miracles right now to get out of trouble. And I'm going to need miracles in the future to get out of trouble. Did Paul not have it all together spiritually? Why did he need deliverance? Some sort of divine intervention to get him out of whatever pickle he got himself into over and over again. Why did he need that? Was it because he didn't have it all together spiritually? Is that what's going on? No, some things just keep coming up because you keep saying yes to what God told you to do.
All right now. Come on with it.
Faith creates needs. You obey God in a step of faith, it will create a need that you need a divine intervention to get through this or get out of this. I've been there time and time and time again. Praise God. So Paul kept needing supply from this storehouse to get him out of whatever trouble he's in. He mentioned, he called it deliverance here, deliverance over and over again. And he said, we've gotten delivered over and over again from death.
Yeah.
You know, they tried to kill him. They'd stoned him,
yeah.
Left him for dead. The Roman Empire tried to kill him. He was shipwrecked. The devil brought up a storm and shipwrecked him. You remember all that?
Yeah.
Remember they had to let him down over a wall in a basket?
Yeah.
He needed deliverance over and over and over again. Well, then there was an angel came and that ship in the 2-week storm. You remember that? Acts 27? An angel came and delivered him from all that. At least spared their lives. The ship was lost, but it spared all their lives. And so he just kept needing deliverance over and over again. They tried to kill him. Why did he keep needing that? Because he kept saying yes to the plan of God. He kept saying, yes, I'll use my faith and step out in that. Praise God. And at times, they stoned him and left him for dead, and God raised him up. That's a deliverance. Every step of that, here's why. Every step of faith is going to create a need. But here's the thing. God has a supply for your every need. And if you think about it, faith is really not for just getting set free or delivered from something. Faith is the way we live. So you're going to need things every day. Might not be deliverance from death or something like that every day, but you're going to need something from God every day. I need an answer here. I need to know what to do. Whoop, there's a storehouse for that. That's on shelf 392 on aisle number 7, you know. You don't need to know all that, but I'm just saying. And I just made that up, by the way. But I'm just simply saying it's there. I do know which shelf it's on. The Bible says that, remember that verse that says he's made unto us wisdom and righteousness? It's on that verse. It's on that aisle. Praise the Lord. I remember whenever I answer the call of God, Pastor Debbie can tell you her story. She's got a lot of stories too. I'm just thinking of some of the ones I answered the call of God. I left my home as a 18-year-old with $500 in my pocket, all my earthly belongings in the back of a 1981 powder blue Toyota Celica hatchback. And that was not a sedan. That was, you know, just a pretty small little car. Go Google it when you go home. 1981 Toyota Celica, powder blue, hatchback. All my earthly belongings in there, $500 in my pocket, had a call of God to go to Rhema, Rhema Bible Training Center, and $500? That's not going to get you very far. I needed money for 2 years of Bible school. That was not paid for. Nobody paid for my Bible school. I'm not opposed to somebody paying for my Bible school, but nobody did. And so I needed 2 years of Bible school. I needed 2 years of rent. I needed 2 years of food. I remember whenever my parents came to visit me one time, they were shocked because I was skinnier when they saw me. I guess ramen noodles weren't doing the job. But God supplied that funding all through Bible school. Praise God. Hallelujah. Then he called us to go on the road, and God supplied for that. We didn't have any money for that. Then there was a time where we didn't have the, I told this story just recently, the time we didn't have the money to get out of town. God sent an angel. I believe it was an angel. We'll find out from when we get to heaven. I believe it was an angel. Brought that money. Then there, I think it might have been that trip or another one of the trips up there to North Dakota, South Dakota. Sometimes we preach in both of those states. But anyway, there was a time where we were trying to get through. We were driving all night, trying to get through, get there in time to preach. We left the healing school on Friday afternoon, driving all night Friday night to get up there Saturday. Anyway, so we were driving, shifting back and forth. She would drive an hour. Well, we were going to drive longer, but each of us were only getting an hour in before we were falling asleep. Finally, I took the wheel. She couldn't stay awake anymore. I took the wheel, and I started falling asleep. Remember the time I told about feeling the angel touching my arm? And it woke me up, and I thought Debbie had done it. For those of you that are visitors here, it happened in the car where I felt a physical hand touch my and wake me up. And I thought it was her, and I said, Deb. And I thought she would be awake and hear me. I said, Deb. And she didn't. I said, well, she must have fallen back asleep. Well, I'm driving, and you know, when you hear this, you know, you gotta wake up and get a hold of yourself. That's not smart, by the way. But anyway, that's what happened. And the second time I felt that hand, just as physical as Brother Carlos feels that right there, woke me wide awake. The second time woke me fully awake. And I stayed awake the rest of the night. She slept the whole way through. And actually, I called to her three times that time. And the last time I hollered her name, Deb, and she slept right through it. Later, I asked her, did you wake me up? Did you see me sleeping and wake me up? She goes, no, what are you talking about? I was sleeping. I said, well, God sent an angel to wake me up. Hallelujah. Well, that's supply. That's out of that heavenly storehouse. Young dumb down there, he's driving all night and trying to stay awake, not using wisdom. We need to wake him up. Think about Israel. Israel needed redundant miracles. One miracle didn't get him out of Egypt. Miracle after miracle after miracle to get, you know, Pharaoh to change his heart. Isn't that right? So God kept pulling miracles out of that great storehouse up there and provision to help get them out. And it took more than one. So God just said, I got plenty. We can work. We can do this all day, all month, all year. We can do it however long it takes. Hallelujah. Sometimes I've noticed this in my life. I don't know. There's a person right now experiencing this. Christina, is she here? She's right here. There you are. She's going through an experience right now. Just miracle after miracle, just things that are happening. I've noticed some things take series of miracles. So this miracle was just the influence of God on somebody's heart to change them. And then another miracle in order to change this and change that and change that. And some things just take clusters of miracles. Well, there's a cluster shelf and there's a cluster aisle. Amen. Hallelujah. But then whenever they got out of Israel got out of Egypt, that only got them out. They're not in yet. They need more miracles. They need manna out of the sky. They need water out of a solid rock. Right? They need angels to chase their enemies and confuse their enemies to where they fight off one another, and they don't even need to fight in that battle, and they gather up the spoils. More money to build the temple. Praise the Lord.
Come on.
Miracle after miracle after miracle. Hallelujah. So sometimes you need more than one miracle. But God's got it. How about Jesus? Think about the first thing he needed was a funding for 2 years over in Egypt. Whenever he was, remember Pharaoh killed, he missed Jesus because Jesus was over in Egypt, but he killed all the babies trying to kill Jesus. Did I say Pharaoh? Herod is what I meant. But the miracle was that Jesus' life was spared. Then you find that Jesus needed to pay 12 staff for 3.5 years, right? And pay all their funding, pay all their bills. And then Luke 8 said that God had supplied a funding to follow them. Luke 8 verses 1 through 3. I'm not going to go there for time's sake. But Luke 8, 1 through 3, it says there was some people that God raised up who ministered unto him of their substance. That's heaven's supply right there. So then he needed deliverance when they tried to push him off of a cliff. That was in that heavenly storehouse. I don't know if God blinded their eyes. I don't know what God did. But somehow or another, he got him. Jesus got out of there. Then he needed food for 5,000, and then another time for 4,000, right? Because, and then there was a storm came up, and that storm needed to be calmed, because the devil's trying to stop. He's trying to put him in the bottom of the lake. Then he needed tax money, right? And God showed him where it was in the mouth of the fish. Then he needed strength in the garden to go through with the crucifixion, and God sent an angel to strengthen him. All this is out of this heavenly supply. Is Jesus somehow not up to par spiritually for needing a miracle over and over and over again? See, that's what we're getting to this morning. Somehow or another, the Lord wanted me to get that across. Get free from the condemnation of needing help, needing a miracle over and over and over again. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Now, Jesus didn't need something over and over again just because, or he didn't need it because he was less than spiritually. He needed it because the enemy was opposing him over and over and over again. But there's help for that. Hallelujah. So that's one reason we're teaching on this. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you getting anything out of this?
Yes.
Has God proven time and time again he'll take care of you?
Yes.
Remember that old Rainbow Singers and Band song? He'll do it again for you. Just take a look at where you once were and where you are then, or however that said that. Where you were and where you are now. In other words, he always comes through for you. He's the same God now as he always has been. He'll do it again. Praise the Lord. That's our God. Now, this clears up a wrong teaching. Let me just get some things wrapped up here. This clears up a wrong teaching from Matthew 7, 7 through 8. There we read, and many translations translate this, ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, so forth and so on. And many translations will say ask. This is Matthew 7, 7 through 8. Many translations will say ask and keep on asking and you'll receive.
Yes.
And that used to bother me because faith asks once.
Yes.
The prayer of faith.
Yes.
There's different kinds of prayer.
Right.
But faith asks once. You don't need to ask God for your needs to be met more than once. But it says ask and keep asking. It kept bothering me. Why are these translations translating that way? So I looked it up in the Greek, and it is continuous.
Yeah.
Ask and keep asking. I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me with this because this goes against other teachings of the word. He said to me one day, he said, look up the word receive. Because it said ask, and you shall receive.
Yes.
Remember? He said to me one day, look up the word receive. And this receive, you got your shouting clothes on? The word receive is also in the continuous. I went, whoa, I see it. Ask and keep asking and you'll receive and keep receiving. In other words, he's saying, get free from the condemnation of needing to ask for things over and over again. In other words, ask and there it is. But tomorrow I might need some more of the same thing. Ask, there it is. Does that set you free like it set me free? Hallelujah, hallelujah. The second reason we're teaching on this, and we're wrapping this up,
amen,
is because you need to develop a redundancy of faith.
Yeah.
God's will is that you and I go from faith to faith.
Yes.
Your faith might not be at the level to where you can lay hold of everything you know God has for you in this life where you are right now. But you can do this. You can break it down into smaller bite-sized pieces.
Yes.
I heard Brother Higgins one time years ago said, I couldn't believe God for, there was a time, he said, I couldn't believe God for $10,000, but I could believe God for $1,000 10 times. I like that. Doesn't that help you? If you can believe God for a little bit today, a little bit tomorrow, a little bit the next day, and just keep doing that and keep on laying hold, keep on laying a hold. It won't take long. You'll have the whole thing. Brother Keith Moore tells a story about a lady that came to healing school, and she was admitted to the in the process of being there in healing school, she was admitted to the hospital. And so he went up to visit her, and it was getting worse and worse. I don't remember the condition, but it was getting worse and worse. It was becoming life-threatening. The doctor said, it's just going the wrong direction here. And so basically, he went up and visited her. He said, can you believe God for this? She said, not really, because it's getting worse every day. She said, and Brother Moore said, well, can you believe God you get just a little bit better? She said, not really. And so he backed way down. He said, can you believe God that you just stop getting worse?
Yeah.
Her eyes lit up.
Yeah.
So you can see faith in people's eyes.
Yeah.
I can believe God for that. So they agreed, laid hold of it, because every day she had been getting worse. But now they're believing that she won't get worse. Somebody said, well, God has so much more. Yeah, but according to your faith. So she laid hold. They agreed, laid hold of, it won't get any worse.
Yeah.
He came back the next day, and her eyes are all excited. It didn't get any worse.
Yeah, come on.
And he said, all right, let's take another step. Let's believe God that gets just a little bit better.
Yes, amen.
And he did that for a number of days. And I don't remember how many days later, he went up to visit her. And the nurse at the station, whatever, said, she's not here. He said, where? He said, she was dismissed. She's completely free. She's recovered. She's completely recovered.
Hallelujah.
Well, that beats dying. Glory to God. You need to keep on having a spirit of faith. I said all that to hook on to what I was teaching about the spirit of faith. We having, not had, not have, having, 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 over and over again, the same spirit of faith. Glory to God. A faith that just keeps on going, just keeps on laying hold, just keeps on laying hold. Stand up with me. Praise God. A faith that keeps on having a good report. A redundant faith. Say it out loud, a redundant faith. Hallelujah. I always have faith. I'm always releasing my faith. Praise the Lord. So that's really the hook on, is that we having the same spirit of faith. Having, having, having. Glory to God. And this is for continuing to have it as you get older. Yeah. At 80 years old, Caleb said, give me this mountain. He wasn't looking for a rocking chair. He's looking for a battle to fight and something to take. He's 80 years old. He didn't just have a spirit of faith. He having, having, having. He kept on having. He's 80 years old. He still has a spirit of faith. So turn to your neighbor and say, you're not too old. Amen. David had it at 17 years old. 17-year-old David had a spirit of faith, and he charged Goliath. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're not too young. having as a young person, having as a middle-aged person, having as an older person. We keep having it. We keep having it. Why? Because there's a redundant store of blessing after blessing after blessing. And you won't lay hold of it all at once. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you for your word this morning. We love you and thank you for the full redundant supply of this rich treasury of your goodness. We bless you, Father, because you're a God of more than enough. More than enough. Whatever we used up today, there's more for us tomorrow. And we give you all the praise for it. And we thank you for your word that encourages us. Father, thank you first of all for your mercies that are new every morning. And they never fail. We thank you, Father, for those available to those this morning that need it. And those that need it this morning, they take hold of it. They choose to believe that you're a God of another chance, a second chance, a third chance, even when we've messed up over and over, another chance. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise for it. And all of God's faith people said,
amen.
Amen.